Thank you for joining us for this message from More Life Church, where we exist to love God, to love people, and to reach a region for Jesus and to make a difference for generations to come. Now, to learn more about how we're reaching our community and how you can partner with us and learn how God has uniquely designed you, check out Grow Steps on Demand by visiting morelifechurch.com/growsteps or by downloading our app today. But for now, enjoy today's message.
Last week, we talked about the world and how it infiltrates our life, and it can. And here's what I want you to know if you don't already know this. The outside world, it will affect us in so many ways if we're not able to deal with it with the inside world. And what the outside world does with all of those things that we shared, if you didn't see it, watch it. It's online. You can still watch it. It's important. But the outside world and things that get us, it will affect our physical health. It will affect our mental health. Now listen to this next one. It will literally affect our relational part of our life. It will affect our relationships. How do I know that? How many of you men or women have come home from a day of work that was a nightmare and it affected your home life? Anybody here? Raise your hand. I mean, it happens. You come home and my wife's like, "You okay?" "No, I'm fine." And then she keeps digging, probably a mistake. And then she finds out, you know, it comes out. You see, this outside world will affect us. Well, how many of you want to know an answer to what do we do with that? Anybody here? Or I mean, I could be done. We can just do another song. That'd be fine. One of you. Okay, well, I'll talk to her over here. We need to be able to, how do we go from here? And this is number one. The Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? I'm going to go to a scripture. I think it's going to help us. So I can find it. It's in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20. And it says this. I'm just going to read right through it. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I do need to stop right there. It's saying, here's what the will of the Lord is. We all wonder, I wonder what God's will is. One of many. What is the Lord's will? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's start there. It says, hey, listen up, pay attention. Here's the will of God. Be not drunk with wine. Now we got to remember, they didn't have Miller Lite. They didn't have Dos Equis. They didn't have all kinds of beers. So it's talking about alcohol. It's literally talking about alcohol. Here's what I want you to understand. It's drawing a parallel, right? Don't do this, but do this, which is similar to this, but yet different. Now listen to me. It's saying, don't be drunk. You know, I started thinking, what does that mean? And not that I've ever been drunk before, but if you've been around someone who is drunk until they get really bad and people can get mean, but drunk people are usually pretty friendly, right? I mean, they really are. They're just friendly. Yeah, hey, come here. What's your name? You know, and they're just friendly. At least they start out that way. You know, they're drunk. They're outgoing. They go from a person who was not outgoing. You're like, if you worked with them and you go to the party, you guys have all seen that. And you're like, Joe is never like that. And he's like talking to everybody. Again, he's like, hey, come here, Sally, come here. And you're like, Joe's never said a word to me. He's worked there 5 years. He's drunk. The Bible's drawing a comparison. Listen to me. I know we're having fun, but a drunk person is giving. You know, I have been in bars, and
You know, I've been around people that goes, no, you're not drinking. You know, I'll buy your drink. Come here, it's on me. And they'll spend their money. Here you go. Here you go. No, drinks for everyone, right? I mean, it's what drunk people do. They don't care. Now, it's the same person that wouldn't give you a nickel if you needed it, but when they're drunk, they'll be buying all y'all's drinks. Tell me how many of you know that's true. Come on now. Don't act like none of you are like, oh, I've never been in a bar, Larry. We've never even smelled alcohol. Come on. Come on now. I mean, it's the truth. And then everything is funny. And they have no worries. Drunk people, you could go in and go, hey, Joe, somebody ran into the back of your car. And Joe goes, you do what? Yeah, you just wrecked your car. You ran your car. Who cares? They have no worries. Drunk people think everything is funny. They have no worries and they believe in themselves. You know how many times I've been around somebody that's drunk that at the time knew I lifted and they're like, hey, you and me right now on a bench press meet. And I'm like, dude, you're drunk. No, I can do this. And I'm like, dude, it's not gonna end well for you. Bar's gonna be on your neck. It's just not gonna be good. No, I can beat you, man. You know, they believe in themselves, right? They just do. They're like, they can fly. They're on tables dancing, doing things that's out of their character. No, are you getting what I'm saying about the parallel that God is asking us to do, to be filled with the Spirit, to have these things in our life, to be friendly, to be giving, to not care what someone thinks, to not have any worries, to believe in ourselves that God has given me this ability to do what I'm going to do. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with this, but be drunk with this. That's good. That's good. A better preaching, y'all acting. I mean, that's good stuff. I mean, that's how we can change what the world is telling us. Listen, man, you get drunk in the Holy Ghost and you just start listening to what God is saying, man, and you don't care. You just don't. You don't. You're happy. People think you're crazy when you find out that certain things aren't going your way and you're like, I don't know, I have a peace about it. And they're like, what? You're like, yeah, I just have a peace about it. I have a peace that passes understanding. You don't understand, but I got a peace. There's a peace that passes anyone's understanding. They don't get embarrassed, they don't care. And lastly, there's many things that drunk people do. These are just a few. Lastly, you can lead them anywhere. Give me a drunk and I can get him to go with me wherever I need him to go. It's the truth. They're like, where are we going? You know, and they're just gone. You're like, come here, come on. Like I said, we're gonna go jump off this roof. I'm in. Count me in, right? They're in and they can be led. They have no stress or anxiety. And the reason is just no stress, no anxiety. Listen, they self-medicate. The issue is that they tend to self-medicate. To manage an internal problem that's affecting them from the world, from their mind. And so we live in a world that self-medicates. Here's how I feel. I don't want to feel that way anymore. So I'm going to take this drug. I'm going to take this script. I'm going to drink alcohol. I'm going to smoke this. Let me say this so that you truly understand. I'm not against alcohol at all. You know, there's a story of a preacher. I wasn't going to tell this, but I will. He was a diehard preacher. And he started out by saying, if I had all the beer in the world, I would throw it in the river. I was like, ah, you know, and excited. And then he said, if I had all the wine in the world, I would throw it in the river. Ah, the congregation erupts. And, yes, preach it. If I had all the whiskey in the world, I would throw it in the river. Ah, it erupts again. Finally, he sits down and praise and worship leader gets up. He says, well, we have hymnals. Why don't we turn to page 365 as we sing, Shall We Gather at the River? So listen, I'm not against alcohol. It isn't. But here's what I am against. because I'm against something. And that's okay, right? Do you remember? It's not a rotary meeting. This is the word of God, the truth, that the truth will set you free. It might first tick you off, but it will set you free if you operate in it. And it's simply this: anything that you take that affects your mind to where you cannot think straight, it's not good. Because you now have lost your mind. The control of how you think and what you do, and it's not healthy. So that's for somebody. When you, well, it just helps me sleep. Let Jesus be that source. Figure it out. I mean, it's all I can tell you. You're going down a road that is not good. Can that be a warning? It's not a good road. And one of the reasons why I say that, if you knew my story, I grew up with a stepfather who was an alcoholic, who later at some point in his life took his own life. So I lived it, I saw it, I know what a simple liquid that makes no sense drink can do to another human being. It says, neither give place to the devil. Do not give that ounce of space to the enemy. Amen? I don't know who that's for. That was free. That wasn't even in there. All right, I'm going to get around moving forward. I want to tell you a story about a modern day Job that was able to handle some things that otherwise I don't know how he could have with his mind, right? So it's a modern day story of his name was Horatio Spafford. But if we could have the lyrics, I think we have those. Do we have those? We have a lyrics of a song that most of you might know. Can we get that? Is that up on the screen yet? Did we have that or no? If not, that's okay. Yeah, you don't want none of that. Is it? We got it. All right. You know, some of us know the song. You know, the song was written in 1873. And it says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Is it coming up for me? Oh. Okay, there we are. We didn't have that on the back, sorry. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know. Now, what I want you to know, we sing it in a different version. We sing it in, whatever my lot has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It got changed. Well, the original version, you can go ahead and take that off. It says, whatever my lot has taught me to know. There's a difference in saying and a difference in knowing. How many of you know that? You can say one thing, but knowing is a whole nother thing. Let me give you an example. I can say, it's gonna be a sports reference, so some of you that don't care about sports, that's fine. But I can say, you know what? I'm gonna say it. I believe the Cleveland Browns are gonna win the Super Bowl. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't really know that. I just said it. There's a big difference when a person writes this song and says, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. So let me go to another section here. I wanna read something. So Horatio Spafford was a gentleman who wrote this. And I'm gonna read a little bit about his life. Now, you all know the song, right? You've probably heard it. It is well with my soul. All these things, it is well with my soul. It says, this hymn was written after traumatic events in Spafford's life. The first two, which was a whole lot more, the first two were the death of his four-year-old son and the great Chicago fire of 1871, which ruined him financially. He had been a successful lawyer and had invested significantly in property in the area of Chicago that was exclusively damaged by the fire. His business interests were further hit in the economic downturn of 1873, at which time he had planned to travel to England with his family on a ship to help D.L. Moody, who was an evangelist. So he had lost his son, lost his businesses in a fire, some other things had happened, and he was ready to go with his family to see D.L. Moody in upcoming evangelistic campaigns. In a late change of plans, he sent the family ahead while he was delayed on business concerning zoning problems following the Great Chicago Fire. While crossing the Atlantic Ocean, his family, the ship sank rapidly after a collision with a sea vessel called the Loch Earn, and all four of Spafford's daughters died. His wife, Anna, survived and sent him now the famous telegram, "Saved alone." Shortly afterwards, as Spafford traveled to meet his grieving wife, he was inspired to write these words as the ship passed near his daughter's place where they had died. Wow. So you lose a son, you lose your finances, you lose businesses and homes and lands that you own. You send your wife on a trip with your four daughters. "Hey, we're gonna go do God's work. I can't go right now, but we're gonna go do God's work." And you get a telegram that says "saved alone" to find out later that all four of your daughters died in the shipwreck and your wife solely lived. And on your way to meet her, you write a song. You write a song that says, "It is well with my soul." I don't know how you do that, right? If I'm honest, I honestly don't know how you do that. Because it isn't well with my soul. God, is anyone with me? How did he do that? You know why? He knew. He knew. He had an actual relationship. He didn't just go to church and hear about God. He knew God personally. Was he hurt? Was there pain? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me go back. Hang on a second here. How did he do it? He said, "Thou hast taught me to know." See, you know, it's funny because, you know, for years at times until I experienced and knew God, I would say it to convince myself I believed it. Anybody been there? You know, I would say something and just keep saying it just because, you know, if I say it enough, maybe I'll believe it. And what I learned was that it wasn't really saying it, and it's okay to say that, is to speak things. But at the end of the day, I really learned and knew a whole lot more when I got close to God and I experienced it, then I knew. Then I had trust. Then I knew. So number one, and in closing, you know what, if I could have Daniel, if he could come. In closing, number one was walk in the Spirit. Number two is think and filter everything through the Word of God. We're gonna go to Philippians, and I think this will help. I think this will help a lot. I know it helps me. As you know, when the enemy comes, the Bible says, he comes in like a flood. And sometimes he does, but I would prefer to read it. When the enemy comes like a flood, God will pour out his Spirit. I kind of change it up a little bit. Is that all right? Because see, we read it, when the enemy comes in like a flood. And I just choose to put a period there. When the enemy comes, period, like a flood, God will move on my behalf. Philippians, I'm gonna start, even though I know that the one part is up there, I'm gonna start in verse 4. I like this part because it's me most of the time. You know, he's writing and he says, here's a way for us to help our mind. So Larry, how do I guard my mind and how do you, hey, pray, guard it, use the word, walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. You know, the Bible said that you're also in Ephesians, sing to yourself in songs and hymns. I mean, there are times that I will annoy my wife so much. One of the reasons is, y'all know, I just can't shut up. And she'll be trying to do work at home on her computer, and she'll be at the kitchen table, which is not an office, by the way. It's my kitchen and my space, and I'll come in and I'll just be singing and talking and saying stuff about the word. And she'll be like, would you shut up? And I know you're not supposed to. And I'm like, what? And she goes, I can't get any work done here. And I'm like, well, it's a kitchen woman cook then. No, I don't say that. I don't say that. Help him, Lord. Yeah. Is this message actually taped? Just saying. Yeah. Sing to yourself. I mean, I'm talking to myself, singing to myself, encouraging myself, and I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Just do it. Get that in you. You just can't even shut up. You got so much God in you. You're working, but you're just singing, talking to yourself, talking to God. I do that. You just, it helps. It helps me. I mean, before I got saved, y'all, I mean, I wasn't a nice person. I mean, at times I don't feel nice now, but I just was not. But man, God will change you. You know, I want you to know God can change you today. I was not even close to the same person I am today. I was ugly. I was mean. I was broken. I was hurt. I was disappointed. I was all of those things. Why? Because life had beat me down. I was discouraged. I was rejected, hurt, disappointed. I mean, I was. And then came Jesus. Changed my life forever. Young people, he'll change your life forever. Can I say this? Young people, God wants to get in your life now. I used to think I'll wait till I'm old because that's what old people do. They're nice. They get old and you get nice and you serve God. That's a lie. God wants to impart his spirit, use you. He has wired you and created you for such a time as this. I'm anxious to move over some and make space for young people that want to jump in and start leading and be led by the Spirit of God to help us change a lost and dying world. I'm not going to let the young people go. I'm not. And you've heard me say this. I have a little plaque that is still in my office. I've had it 40 years. And it says, it is better to build children than repair men. And I'm in the ministry and I can tell you that's truth. Yes. Let's build these young people. Listen, young people, I don't even know why I'm saying this. It's not a bunch of don'ts. It isn't about don't smoke and don't drink and don't do this and just do that. And it's like God is some cosmic killjoy. Here's what I'm gonna tell you. If you spend time doing the do's, you don't have time to do the don'ts and the things you're doing. You're so full of life, changing the world, changing you, serving God. You love it and it rebuilds you. It's an amazing thing for y'all to do. I'm just telling you, man, trust me. Woo, well, close, Larry, close. Daniel's gonna get tired. Philippians, number two, this is the thing we need to do. If you do this, it's gonna help you. I'm gonna start in verse four. Rejoice in the Lord always. Just a great place to start. Always, no matter what. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Wow, that's a tough one. But in everything, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace, of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Y'all need to highlight that, write it down, read it every day until you start doing it. And it's a consistent, it's gonna help your mind. Finally, he says, brothers, here's what we need to do. This is how we judge everything that comes to our head. I'm not worthy. I'm depressed. People don't like me. I'm never gonna make it. I won't be healed. I'm gonna lose my job. My kids are driving me crazy. My kids, one of them is gonna end up, I know it, in prison. I can't get along with my family. It's never gonna be healed. It's bombarding us. Should I get the shot? Should I not? Peace, be still. Figure it out. Figure it out. You'll be all right. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Guard our minds. This morning you're here, and I said, you listen, we need to ramp it up. Not me, all of us, we need to ramp it up. I don't know, today you came here this morning, and you got something in your life that's been holding you back. It's been holding you down. Here's what I want you to know. Maybe it's an addiction. It's okay. You know, it's interesting how churches and people at times, and I'm not judging any church. If I did anything, I'd be judging our own. Is that we can be so critical and people are afraid to tell us truths because of how critical we can be and how shocked we can be. But Jesus himself said, I came for those that are sick. Oh, not me. Not me. I've been saved 40 years and I'm not sick. Wow. Really? You know, it's time that we as a church and a body said, you know, I need help. It's okay. I need help. You know, maybe today you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ. You've never personally said, you know what? You know, the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. It says that. You know, again, I told you, I can't hold back. There's truth that we have to preach and we have to share. Listen, it's not all kindness and love and kindness and love and acceptance and kindness and love. Those things are important, but there are some things that God says, prepare to meet thy God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. I'm not gonna stand before God and him say, shame on you, you candy coated it, you made it soft, you made it acceptable, you didn't want to offend anybody and you did not give them a truth. I will not stand at that. I will present it in love and say, hey guys, there is a heaven and hell. Heaven is a real place. It's a place of no more. No more pain, no more dying, no more hurt, no more crying. It's a place of no more. It's a place where you fit in and you're loved.
Thanks again for joining us for this message from More Life Church. Now, if this message spoke to you, we would love for you to share it with someone you think could use it. And finally, if you would like to partner with us financially, you can do that by visiting morelifechurch.com/give. Now have an amazing day.